Bibles and turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. You know, you don't really hear much preaching and teaching from Psalm 23, but you almost always hear it where? At a funeral. But really, this is not a funeral psalm. This is a psalm for the living. And this is a psalm that I would like for us this evening to take a few moments to remind you of. You know, a lot of our preaching and teaching from our New Testament and even when we dig down into the Old Testament passages are really exhortations for us to yield to what the Lord is doing in our life. But tonight I want us to look at a very simple truth, and that is the Lord as our shepherd. And so let's begin reading here. We'll read all six verses of the psalm, although our point here is really topical with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's got to be one of the more tender psalms that King David wrote. And you can kind of imagine him as the shepherd over the sheep, looking out over that flock and thinking about what the Lord had for him in his life and his vocation, as it were, of looking out of what his brothers called those few small sheep that were out there, and thinking about how he was a sheep. This psalm is written from the perspective not of a shepherd, but of a sheep. The Lord is whose shepherd? He's my shepherd. And a shepherd, by definition, shepherds sheep. And so David is thinking of himself in that capacity. Now this psalm, Psalm 23, can be looked at from various perspectives. I think in context is the oversight of the shepherd, but it is interesting on where this psalm is situated. There's kind of a trinity of psalms here with Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. And you'll recall, look at Psalm 22 in verse 1, where we have our Lord's cry when he was there on the cross. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That was actually our scripture reading for this morning. So you see in Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you what? Why have you forsaken me? And of course, he goes on and he concludes that psalm about a people who will come and declare his righteousness. The one who cried, my God, is the righteousness of the one that a future people will be declaring to others. And of course, that is speaking of us, isn't it? In Psalm 24, you have the Lord entering into Zion. And in verse 7, you have this wonderful phrase when it says to Zion, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And you can just imagine the gates of glory, the gates of heaven, the true Jerusalem, not the Jerusalem that's on earth, but the one who is the mother of us all, that heavenly Jerusalem. And you can imagine the Lord having died, buried, rose again, you can imagine him approaching. Remember, he ascended up into heaven. He's approaching that heavenly Jerusalem. And those who watch over cry out, "Lift up the gates, open up the gates. The King of Glory is coming in." And you can kind of imagine when he said, "Lower the gates," and the King of Glory descended. And now the King of Glory is coming back. And the psalmist asked in verse 8, "Who is the King of Glory?" I mean, that is the question, isn't it? The one who enters into that true Jerusalem. It is who? It is the Lord. Now, here's the characteristic. He's just risen from the grave. The Lord, strong and mighty. I mean, he conquered sin and death. The Lord, mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in." Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Can you imagine all the angelic beings joining in on that as he comes into that city? And can you imagine as they behold him and he literally sits down on the throne of God? That's amazing, isn't it? And sandwiched between the Eli, Lama Sabbathani, and the King of Glory coming in is Psalm 23. And you'll notice here in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Now, did our Lord do that? "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And you can just imagine, you got to wonder, right? You know the Lord's mind was on Psalm 22 at that cross, right? You know what's going on at that cross from that psalm. You know in Psalm 24, you've got the King of Glory coming into that true Jerusalem. And then you look at this and you got to think that the Lord somewhere along the line thought of this as he was on that cross. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. He brought me here. "And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because you're with me. You got to think about that and think about the amazing mental faith, the faith that was being exhibited by our Lord there. And brethren, I think that sometimes it is good for us to step back in the midst of our struggle, our sanctification walk, as it were, before the Lord, and just think about what a wonderful shepherd that we have over our lives. You know, there is a lot of security in that. The kings of Israel were called shepherds. The religious leaders in that nation were called shepherds. They were the leaders over that nation, over the people. And in the New Testament, the word shepherd is translated how in Peter? As the word, you know what the word is? Pastor. Okay, you could say Shepherd Jones. Instead of calling me pastor, you could call me shepherd. That's what that word means. And so it teaches us something there. That whether we are a ruler over a nation, or whether we are the feeder of God's flock, or whether you men in your homes, or whether ladies, you're there in your home over a flock of one or two, we are to shepherd the people that God gives us like he shepherds us. And in fact, in our Bibles, the false shepherds were condemned because they would not shepherd the flock of God properly. And so there is this aspect of shepherding. In Numbers 27:17, we won't turn there, but Moses is praying to the Lord, and he says, "Now, Lord, I'm about to depart, And would you leave Israel as a sheep having no shepherd? And of course, what's the anticipated answer? Of course not. And the Lord himself goes down and picks Joshua to shepherd those people. And the Bible says that when Moses argued this, he said, you know, we need someone who will go out and come in among us. And brethren, that's very instructive for us. A shepherd, if the Lord is going to be our shepherd, then he has to go out and come in among us. And that should really have been a hint that God himself one day would take on human flesh. Right? He took on flesh and blood, just like us, so that he might redeem us. The second member of the Godhead went out and in among us like a shepherd over his sheep. That's a comfort, isn't it? Our God is not a God that is distant from us. Nor is he a God that will not identify with us as human beings. But he is a God that is tempted in all points as we are, yet without what? Yet without sin. So he is able to help us, to come to our assistance, to be our Savior, because he is a faithful shepherd over his sheep. Now you'll notice here in Psalm 23, we have the explicit statement, the Lord is my shepherd. If you go over to Psalm 28, and verse 8 talks about the Lord being his strength and his shield and his trust and his exaltation. Verse 8, the Lord is their strength. He is a saving defense to his anointed. Save your people and bless your heritage. Be their what? Be their shepherd also. All right, now what aspect of the shepherding is he looking for? Carry them how long? Forever. Brethren, what would you think about a God who carries you forever? I don't know if you've seen that poster, I'm sure you have, called Footprints in the Sand. Have you seen that? Okay. And you got these two sets of footprints, and then all of a sudden, you got one set of footprints. And you know, the caption reads something like this, you know, that's the time where the Lord carries you. I just want to let you know something. There's always only been one set of footprints. Right. Do we really think that we, weak, frail people, like sheep, that we could actually walk side by side in this pilgrim way? No, we need someone to carry us forever. He bears us up. He bears our burdens. He gives us strength. He gives us that inner fortitude to lift up the feeble hands, to carry up, to move forward when we don't feel like moving. He is our strength, amen? And that's how he carries us. Yes, we are walking, but we are walking by his strength, and he's the one that is sustaining us. Why is that? The Lord is our shepherd. He is the one who is watching over us. Go over to Psalm 80. Psalm 80. In verse 1. Let's look at who this shepherd is. Oh, give ear, shepherd of Israel. So who is the psalmist praying to? The shepherd of Israel. The one who leads Joseph like a flock. This is our shepherd, the one who is enthroned above the cherubim. Shine forth. Now, of course, you understand the picture there, right? This is a picture of the Ark of the Covenant. And it's there in the Holy of Holies. There's no windows. The only light in that room is coming from the Shekinah glory himself. And he is the one. You've got those wings that are shedding themselves over the holiness of God. And above those wings and above that mercy seat was the Shekinah glory. He was the one and is the shepherd of Israel. And brethren, he is your shepherd. Now think about that. The one who was seated and is seated above the throne of God. The angels hide their eyes before this shepherd. They cry, "Holy, holy, holy," over this shepherd. And he is your shepherd. Now, brethren, his being your shepherd is different from him, his relationship to other people. Right? What does the Lord call other people? Well, he calls them wolves, doesn't he? You know, a shepherd doesn't shepherd a wolf. A wolf does his own thing. He calls them beasts of the field, a bear, a lion. He says that lost people act like beastly creatures. In Daniel, the kings, those four major kings, all have the likeness of animals. But when the Son of Man comes, he comes as a human. And brethren, this is a shepherding that is unique to the sheep of God. We are his people and the people of his flock. And he is our shepherd, the one who shines forth above the cherubim and mercy seat of God. He is God, isn't he? God is our shepherd. He is the one who cares for us. Turn to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And brethren, just from the passages that we've looked at now, the people of God, the nation of Israel, should have known that God was a shepherd and that God himself is their salvation. In Isaiah 40, verse 10, "Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock, and in his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom, and he will gently lead the nursing ewes." And of course, that's a picture of what? Tenderness, right? Aren't you glad the Lord is tender toward you? That he remembers that you are but dust? And he gives us commandments, and yes, he expects us to obey those commandments, but he also remembers you can't obey those commandments, and he gives you strength and desire and love, and he comes down in a tender way, and even when we fall, and as harsh as he may seem sometimes when he rebukes us, like Psalm 73, "Lord, you strike me every day, but the strike is so tender." You say, "Well, I don't think it's tender." You've never felt the strike on the wicked. Folks, a shepherd's strike is for the good of the sheep. He's not trying to kill you like he would kill a wolf or a lion or a bear. His strike is there for healing. He nurtures tenderly. Leads us. He goes before us. Look in the book of Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. And here the prophet Ezekiel, in the midst, he foretells of the coming servant David. in that Davidic kingdom. And he says in verse 24, my servant David. And that could refer to David, the actual King David, or it could refer to the Lord himself, Jesus Christ. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have how many shepherds? One shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and will observe them. Now you've got to be thinking, when you read verse 24, you've got to be thinking of the one shepherd. The Lord himself. And brethren, the Lord is our shepherd, isn't he? And so here we are, we're here in the Old Testament. We just looked at a few of those passages, and we have found out that our shepherd is the Lord himself, the one who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, who sits on the mercy seat of God, who gives light and glory and majesty to his people, the one who rises up and gives life and reviving, the one who strengthens us, the one who is our shield and our protection. Here he is, and lo and behold, we turn to the first gospel. Go to the Gospel of Matthew. And look at chapter 2 and verse 5. Those magi go to the Herod, and they ask about this king. And Herod asked, and they go in verse 5, and the Pharisees say, in Bethlehem of Judah, for this is what was written by the prophet. Now look at verse 6. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will what? Shepherd my people Israel. In other words, out of that city of Bethlehem is going to come the shepherd. Who is the shepherd? The Lord is our shepherd. Amen? And now the Lord himself has come down and took on flesh and blood. Be a shepherd of his people. And the first thing he's going to do is he's going to tackle our greatest enemy. And that is sin and death. He's got to conquer that first, right? That's way more important than saving our flesh. It's saving us from the thing that is killing us. And that is sin and death. And he's going to come and shepherd. King James says rule. The word rule there is the word for shepherd. He's going to shepherd my people, the people of Israel. And of course, when you think of this, I know you've already thought of this passage. What passage am I thinking about? You've got to think about John chapter 10, right? You've got to go there. So let's go there. John chapter 10. When our Lord is going to say in the midst of that chapter, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so we have this wonderful thing about the sheep and the shepherd and his people. Verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how intimately the Lord knows you? Could we all agree with this? The Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows his people. He calls you by name. And he leads them out. Verse 4. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And of course, they didn't understand what he was saying. And in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. who is a hired hand and not a shepherd. Not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. Who's going to bring them? He is. And I must bring them, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one what? I mean, he's referring back to Ezekiel, isn't he? Or what about this, brethren? And I'll just quote it for you. What about on that fateful night, and he turns to his disciples and he says, "Tonight it will be fulfilled when the Lord shall smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Folks, he is the shepherd. We know him as Lord. But brethren, think about this. You know his name. Jesus. Salvation is the name of our shepherd. And of course, in the book of Hebrews, let's turn there, chapter 13. Might have even had this passage come to your mind. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 20. Where the writer of Hebrews says, "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even who?" He names him, doesn't he? The great shepherd of the sheep is the Lord. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And he has an earthly name. And that name is Jesus, our Lord. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. As we go over just a couple of books here, 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter himself must have been thinking back. Maybe he was thinking about John chapter 10 of that time. And he says, verse 25, "For you were continually straying like sheep." And folks, I want to remind you, sheep will only stray away when there's no shepherd. You were like sheep continually straying, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian. Now, he's just not shepherding you physically. He's shepherding your what? Your soul. The very you. Your emotional you. The spiritual you. He is shepherding your heart. He's guiding us. And then I love our last passage here, Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. He talks about these people who have gone through great affliction. And they have a privilege of being, verse 15, before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night. Their affliction, part of their affliction was hunger, verse 16. Part of their affliction was heat. Don't you feel the heat today? Can you imagine what the heat will be like in the book of Revelation when the Bible says that the sun will smite the earth? Can you imagine how hot that's going to be? And these people have had that affliction, and they have this privilege, verse 17. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Folks, when you look at the Lamb, when you look at the throne of God, you see a Lamb. Amen? The Shepherd took on our flesh and blood. When you look at the throne, and remember the throne is above the mercy seat. The throne is where the cherubim of God are at. When you look at that throne, John says, what you're going to see is a Lamb as if it had been butchered to death. I don't know what that looks like. I would say that if I saw a lamb butchered to death, I'd say I might see a lamb that has a throat slit. I might see a lamb, the Bible says, that he has scars in his hands and his feet. I might see a lamb that is butchered, that is bloody. This bloody, slain, resurrected lamb sits on the throne, and that bloody, slain, resurrected lamb is your shepherd. And when you look at him, you're going to give him glory. And you're going to spontaneously say, worthy is the butchered lamb forever and ever. All riches to him. Can you imagine you freely giving up all riches and saying it's his? All strength is yours. Everything I have is all yours. You are worthy, O Lord. You're the Lamb. Brethren, I am sure that David was not aware of all these things. But I can see David on the side of the hill. And I can see David taking care of those little lambs and sheep that he has and modeling his shepherding after the great shepherd. You know, he killed a bear and a lion with his bare hands. David did. Would you do that for just a few small sheep? Or would you say, well, it's just a few small sheep. I'm out of here. That's a hireling. No, he took care of that, didn't he? He put his life in danger for the few small sheep. Now, brethren, this one that I've described is your shepherd. So I want to ask you, right now, do you feel in your heart security because he is your shepherd? You know, you're full of fears. You're full of cares. You're full of anxieties. You're concerned about the future. You're concerned about the past. You're concerned about what's happening tomorrow. You're concerned about the dentist. And the Lord is our shepherd. A shepherd cares. He cares. Do you know that he cares? I mean, our God can be austere and he can be severe. But brethren, you're a sheep. He's showing mercy to you, grace to you. And surely, if he gave his only begotten Son for you, surely he would freely give you all things that you really need. That's a great comfort, isn't it? You will always have what you really need. He cares. He goes among the sheep. Right? He took on flesh and blood. And he gave his life for those sheep. I love this fact. He's always leading ahead. You know, sometimes I have no idea what to do. Have you ever been there? You're like, I don't know what to do. But you can be assured that the shepherd has already been where you need to be heading. And he'll lead you by his voice. Now that's not the inner small voice like Elijah heard. You're not a prophet. But it is the voice of the words of God. He was afflicted like you are. You know, a true shepherd's willing to be afflicted. You know, a shepherd lives out in the elements where the sheep live. Right? If the sheep are in danger of wolves, so is the shepherd. He's not in an air-conditioned mansion back there that works an 8-to-5 job. He's always there 24/7 with the sheep. And brethren, he's 24/7 with you. He is alert. I always smile when I think of our Lord on the mountain and he's watching the disciples struggle, trying to steer that boat through that storm. And I guarantee you, this is outside the Bible, but I guarantee you, I'm going to put it out there, see if you agree. I sincerely doubt any of the disciples stopped and said, hey guys, it's okay, Jesus is watching us. I bet they were rowing that boat, trying to get that boat going across the other side. The brethren, in the midst of us struggling really hard, and even the fact that you'll forget, he's watching you. And you know, lost people hate that. Oh, they hate the fact that God watches everything they do. But a sheep? I'm like, hallelujah. You know my every thought, my uprising, my downsitting. You're with me 24/7. Hallelujah for that. He's alert to danger. You know, I don't know if the sheep ever saw the bear and the lion, but David did. And he took care of it. Brethren, think about all the dangers of this life that haven't come in your life. Just think about it. And you'll be thankful for the shepherd of the sheep. I love this, and so do you. The shepherd speaks to the sheep, and we know his voice. And we're growing more and more every day to hear his voice through the words of God. And finally, there is such great security that the Lord loves us so much that he gave his life. He gave his life. And brethren, I want you to leave tonight thinking, the Lord is my, I want you to apply this to yourself tonight. You say, well, I'm perfectly fine. Well, wait till tomorrow afternoon. And you're going to need to know that the shepherd is watching and caring and nourishing and he's with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's not going to abandon you. I want you to be secure in Christ. Folks, I'm not telling you something that isn't true. I'm not reading you a story. I'm not saying once upon a time there was a shepherd. Shepherd cared for his sheep. He laid down and was like, oh, that's a nice story. You know, I might tell that to my kids one day. This is reality. The Lord of glory who sat on the throne has a name, and his name is Jesus, and he is like a butchered lamb. He is the shepherd of Israel, and he is the shepherd of the true Israel of God, of whom there is one flock and one shepherd, Jew and Gentile, one new man. He is our shepherd. And so, brethren, when you read Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want you to understand that you have a greater understanding of that than even David did. Now, a shepherd leads the sheep, right? Here's my last point. Where is he leading? Well, look at the last verse in Psalm 23. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Do you feel that? Do you know that the shepherd's being good to you right now? He's always being good to you. He's for his goodness in you. He's faithful. He's loving you. He's loving kindness to you. It's going to follow you all the days of your life. And where are you going? I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And did you read that last word? Forever. You say, well, the Lord's going to be my shepherd all the days of my life. Amen? Well, how long are you going to live? Forever. Brethren, he will always be our shepherd. This isn't a shepherd while I'm on earth. This is a shepherding forever. He will lengthen our days and we will stand before him in his house for his glory forever. And the butchered lamb will be the shepherd of the sheep. And forever and ever, that shepherd will show more and more of the glory of God in the face of that lamb that sits on the throne. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful.